Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verses 15 and 19. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear, according to all who desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. So far, text. In Christ Jesus, the great prophet of God, who has revealed to us the salvation of all of mankind, dear fellow redeemed. This morning, our scripture reading, our sermon text, comes from the book of Deuteronomy. The word Deuteronomy means second giving of the law. The contents of this book are several speeches delivered by Moses prior to his death. In our study through the Old Testament this summer, now have come to the end of the wanderings of the Israelites. They're now on the eastern side of the Jordan River, a day's journey from that long-awaited promised land. Before he dies, there is so much that Moses has to say to his people. And as you read these speeches, you're struck by the great concern, the great love that this leader has for his stiff-necked, stubborn, and oft-rebellious people. He knows he's going to soon die, but he also knows the people of Israel will be just like they were after he dies, as they were before when he was still here. And that bothers him greatly. A new generation now stand before Moses than 40 years earlier. Because after 40 years now, everyone who was 20 years or older have died off, except for Caleb and Joshua. So this whole new generation of people 60 years and under are listening to this aged prophet, hearing his last words. Those who are old enough, probably between 50 and 60, probably remembered the thunder, the lightning, the smoke of Mount Sinai as Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments. They probably remembered the golden calf episode, Moses coming down and in anger smashing the two tablets of stone upon which were written the Ten Commandments, grinding that golden calf into powder and making 3,000 drink it and killing those idolaters. And they could never forget, as they saw their parents, aunts and uncles, grandparents, maybe older brothers and sisters, all die off during those 40 years in the wilderness. It would be in their hearts. But how much of the law did they know and remember? Therefore, much of Moses' final words to the people of Israel were a repeating, a second giving of the law, and thus the name Deuteronomy. He emphasizes the Lord's anger, the Lord's wrath over against their disobedience and their rebellion, but also the Lord's gracious grace and mercy when they led to repentance. So Moses looks back upon the past and then heads to the future. The past is filled with reminiscences, with warnings, with failures over and over again. The future is filled with anticipation and encouragement. He says, look back upon the past and be warned. Learn. Don't act as your fathers did. And look to the future, to God's continued blessings and continued help. Moses is impressing upon the people, as well as all of us this morning, that history is written for a purpose. And that's to learn from it. It is so true that if you don't learn from history, you are doomed to repeat it. Again and again in these speeches, always refers to their forefathers' disobedience, their rebellion, their idolatry, their unbelief, their hardness of heart. But again and again, he also points back to God's mercy and grace, and then points back to the future and says, that same promise of mercy and grace is yours. That covenant promise, the promised land, is mentioned almost 30 times in the book of Deuteronomy. That's the oath that God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that this land of Canaan will be your land. You will have it. And so Moses is saying in these speeches, look to the past, to the unchangeable promise of an unchangeable Jehovah Lord for your comfort and for your help in the future. And look back in the past and learn from your forefathers. Learn from their failures. Learn from their mistakes. And don't do the same thing. When you fail, look to the Lord in repentance for his mercy and his grace. Moses reminds them, it's not because of their righteousness that God chose the Israelites as his special people. It's not because they were such a mighty, powerful, or numerous people. Simply because of love. His undeserved love for their forefathers and for them is what they are to rely upon as they walk into the future. These words should fill the people of Israel with confidence, with courage, with great joy, strengthening their trust in the Lord by pointing them to his words of promise, showing to them how he fulfilled his promises over and over and over again to a sinful people in the past, and assuring them he'd be with them and forgive them and strengthen them and help them and guide them as long as they walked according to his will. And that's what a prophet of God does. He speaks God's word, not his own. No other prophet spoke with the Lord the way Moses did. The Lord said to Miriam and to Aaron, Moses' older sister and brother, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings, and he sees the form of the Lord. Our theme this morning is the promise of the prophet. Remember a couple weeks ago, we heard that when Moses went into the temple to speak with the Lord, and the Lord then spoke to him and gave him the words, he came out of the temple to speak to the people. What was different about him? His face shone. He had been in the presence of God's righteousness, God's holiness. Moses was the greatest Old Testament prophet. But now Moses is saying that in the future, there's going to be one coming who is even greater than I. Him you must listen to. We read again from our text. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. And the Lord said to me, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth. He shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. So of whom is Moses speaking? You know, Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. Both Peter and Stephen pointed to these words in Deuteronomy and then said, these words have been fulfilled in Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Christ. He's the great prophet. That's one of Jesus' threefold offices, prophet, priest, and king. In the Old Testament, the Son of God worked through his prophets as the Word. In the New Testament, he came in human flesh and blood. And he himself prophesied, spoke to the people, proclaimed himself to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the light of the world. And then after he rose, ascended to heaven, He continues to speak as the Word, not through prophets, but through you and through me, through his believers, whom he has called to be his mouthpieces, his ambassadors, to proclaim the forgiveness of sins, everlasting life and salvation, only through him. There is one big difference, though, between the prophet Moses and the great prophet Jesus. Moses was a prophet of the law. Jesus is not a second lawgiver, as many people think. You'll hear people that talk about Jesus and say, oh, Jesus was a great white man. He was a wise man. He taught us how to live. He taught us how to love. He taught us to be kind and just and merciful. That's not Jesus' message. That's the law. Jesus' message is the gospel. He said, I have come to take your place. I have come to live an obedient life in thought, word, and deed as your substitute, to be the perfect life for you. I have come to suffer and die upon the cross, to pay for your guilt and your punishment. I've come to rise from the dead victoriously so that you too will rise and live forever in heaven. Our sins are paid for. We're declared righteous in Christ. There's nothing we can or have done. Christ has done it all for us. And so Jesus, as Moses said, is going to come as a prophet. He's going to come from their midst, from them, and God would raise them up. Well, let's see. Is that true? Yep, God the Father sent his Son into this world, conceived of the Virgin Mary. He was born of a Jewish mother by birth, by nature, adopted by his father, so he was a Jew, also by law, and it was God who sent him. So why would that be so comforting to the people of Moses' day? Jesus wouldn't come for another 1,500 years. Well, they were standing on the very cusp of the promised land. Across that river were some powerful enemies. Powerful armies, strong, fortified walls. And now their leader is going to die. What a terrible time for that to happen. Yeah, Joshua would be the leader. But Moses is saying, listen to this man. Listen to this prophet. Listen to his words. Hear him. He'll be with you. He'll lead you. He'll give you victory after victory after victory. And finally, the ultimate victory, everlasting life. God the Father said the same thing that Moses did on the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember when Moses was there, Elijah, Jesus, and the Father boomed with his voice, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Listen to him. We have that great prophet of the future right here in his word. His revelation of his Father. His revelation of our salvation. His revelation of all that he has done for us and how he'll come again to bring us and take us to heaven. One commentator beautifully summarized it all by saying, the religion of the Bible, both Old and New Testament, is not just one of many religions, all of which answer more or less adequately to the needs of the people. No, it is the only religion for all of mankind. And why is that? Because the Bible is the only word from God to man. All of the words are written by man about God. This is the great prophet, Savior God, speaking directly to us. And Moses, in his farewell address, tells his people, do not lose sight of this word. Sadly, it was Israel's failure to continue to diligently teach their children that word of God that caused them to fail again and again and again throughout their history as they were in the land of Canaan. We heard it in Deuteronomy 11. They failed to do what Moses encouraged them when he said, "You shall teach them." Teach them what? Teach them the word to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And today it is the failure of Christian parents to study, to learn, and to have that word of God in their own hearts, and to pass it on and to teach it to their children, which is responsible, directly or indirectly, to some of the problems throughout our society today. It's the truth that one single generation be ignorant, grew up in ignorance of God's word, of their Savior Jesus Christ, and that precious heritage of the forefathers will be lost to the next generation of sons and daughters. May Moses' words of warning sink deeply into our hearts. Hear God's word. Study God's word. Read God's word. And teach that word of God to your children. May we also learn from the past. Learn from the past failures of the Old Testament Israelites. Learn from our own past sins and failures, so we're not doomed to repeat them over and over again. But even more, look to the future. Look to that great prophet Jesus, who promises us forgiveness of sins, everlasting life, and salvation through his name. For it's this same prophet who today speaks to us through his word and leads us through the wilderness of this life, across the Jordan River of death, and into the promised land of heaven above. May we never tire of listening to him. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our great prophet, Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.